I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah, the all-hearing, all-knowing, from Satan, from Satan.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Amirul Mu'minin Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, your recitation of salat, your recitation of durood upon me is protection for your du'as. It leads to the pleasure of your Rabb and it is a cause of purity for your deeds. Subhanallah, what does this mean that it is a protection for your du'as? Once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sat in the masjid and a man came and he started to pray salah. And after salah, he made dua. And he made dua with the words, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni, that, oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen this man, the Prophet seen him praying in this matter, he said, Ajilta ayyuhal musalli, that, oh prayer, you have hastened, you have hurried in your prayer. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning the method of dua, said, when you complete your salah, first praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then recite salat upon me, and then make dua. The narrator has said that after him, another person offered salah, then praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then sent salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayyuhal musalli, ud'u tujab, that, oh, prayer, or the one who is praying, make dua as it will be accepted. So this means that when we make dua, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it in a more quicker and a better way when it is surrounded by durood. It has been narrated from Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ مَوْقُوفٌ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا يَسْعَدُ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ حَتَّى تُصَلِّيَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّكَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. A person's dua hangs between the heavens and the earth, between the skies and the earth, and it does not take a step forward, it does not elevate a step more until you recite the durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a method taught to us in the hadith, this is a method given to us in the hadith, that for a person's du'as to be accepted, for a person's supplications to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala, he should beautify them, he should surround them with sending the durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Welcome back to that program, The Deadly Sins, in which we talk about those sins which can cause destruction to a person's life and the hereafter, those sins which take a person away from the path of paradise and upon the path of hell, and ultimately those sins which can cause a person to lose his iman. As in the previous 25 episodes, we have covered major sins from shirk, polytheism, to murder, magic, lying, backbiting, tale-telling, slandering, stealing, etc., etc., all the major sins which have been mentioned. These last few programs will be based upon the redemption of these sins, on how we can save ourselves from these sins and how we can protect ourselves from these sins. So the topic we will talk about today, in which a person can protect himself from the major sins and even the minor sins or anything in general, is in relation to dua, supplication, prayer. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the prayer, dua, is the essence of worship. If there is no essence in something, if there is, say, no soul in a body, then that bodiless being is of no use. So we should make a habit of, whether it is a big thing or a small thing, this has become a problem today, that we only turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are in need of a major thing, when we are in need of a big thing, or when we need a big thing or a major thing forgiven. But rather Allah Ta'ala accepts even the smallest of the things, even the smallest of the prayers a person makes, Allah Ta'ala accepts it. If you look at the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what do we see? There is du'as, there is supplications, there is prayers for every single thing. Like think, for example, when you wake up in the morning, there is a du'a for waking up. You go into the bathroom, there is a du'a for going into the bathroom. Coming out of the bathroom, there's a du'a for exiting the bathroom. Having food, there's a du'a for that. Finishing food, there's a du'a for that. Leaving your house, there's a du'a for that. Riding or driving your car, there's a du'a for that. Going to work or being in the market, there's a du'a for that. Coming back home, there is a du'a for that. Going to sleep, there is a du'a for that. So every single step of looking into the mirror, there is a du'a for that. Drinking milk, there is a du'a for that. So every single thing a person does, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us prayers for it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to seek goodness from it. The Prophet has told us to seek refuge from certain things. So this should be our daily routine as well. That any action we are doing, anything we are about to do, should be done with the name of Allah. Or either seeking the refuge of Allah from the shaitan. So like this, every action we do or every step we take during the day, that is a blessed act, that is a beneficial act for us. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to ask Allah ta'ala, we should not consider asking Allah ta'ala to be a burden or to be difficult for Allah. This is not difficult for Allah, but rather Allah Ta'ala commands us Himself to ask Him. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'min, ayah number 60, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord has proclaimed, your Lord has said, pray to me, I shall answer your prayers. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala, where He is encouraging people that you should ask, He is also giving a mindset that you will be given what you are asking. And the scholars have written various interpretations of this. Number one is, what you are asking, Allah Ta'ala will grant you that. Number two, what you are asking, Allah Ta'ala will not grant you that, but He will give you something better than that. Number three, what you are asking is not good for you, so Allah Ta'ala will stop that from you. And number four, whatever you are asking, you will not be granted it, but the reward for it will be written in the hereafter. And it is said that when a person will see his du'as, the reward and the huge heap of reward for his du'as, which were not accepted in the world, he would say, if only none of my prayers were accepted in the world. Because the amount of blessings, the amount of reward, the amount of thawab which will be in the hereafter for those unaccepted du'as, then a person will desire that, I wish none of my du'as were accepted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, الدُعَاءُ مُخُ الْعِبَادَةِ. That du'a is the essence of ibadat. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has said, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, nothing is better than du'a before Allah Ta'ala. Nothing is better in the court of Allah Ta'ala than asking Him for it. Subhanallah, look at the beauty of our Lord. If we go to somebody and we ask Him for something, He will grant us. We might go the second time, He will give us. When we go the third time, now He will feel in His heart that, why does He keep coming and asking me? Why does He keep coming to me? What does He want from me? She should go to somebody else, but our Lord is not like this. Every single time you come closer to your Lord gets happy with you. Every single time you ask your Lord grants you. To the extent it has been narrated that Allah Ta'ala dislikes that person who does not ask Him. And remember, in our lives sometimes, we stop asking Allah Ta'ala. We stop going to Him for things. We stop, we feel like we're not in need of Him. Astaghfirullah. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu has stated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person for whom the door of dua is open, then the door of mercy is open for him. Amongst the requests submitted to Allah made in dua, the favorite one is about safety. The troubles which a person has suffered from and the troubles which has not come yet, only dua benefits in all of them. So a bondman of Allah, make it compulsory upon yourselves to make dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that we should ask about afiyah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afata fi dunya wal-akhirah. That, O Allah, I ask You in relation to safety. I ask you in relation to security, and this is the best dua a person can make. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu has narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Should I not tell you of such a thing that will bring you protection against your enemy and increase your sustenance?" Isn't this something we all want? Don't we all want our sustenance to increase, for our sustenance to have barakah in it, and for us to be protected from enemies, whether these are enemies who are trying to cause bodily harm to us, or those enemies who are trying to hurt us through other means. Prophet said, make dua to Allah day and night, because dua is the weapon of a believer. Dua is the weapon of a mu'min. Just as every war, every battle, every confliction has weapons which are used in it, what is the weapon of a believer? And that is dua. Even if you look at the battles within Islam, the battle of Badr, where there were 313 on one side, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua, and due to the barakah, due to the blessing, due to the acceptance of dua, Allah ta'ala granted victory to the Muslims. And this is something which is not only seen during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even after, when the rulers of Islam, or when the awliya, or when the ulama, the scholars and the pious bondsmen were in a state of difficulty, when they had some sort of a difficult state, a difficult time they were going through, what would they do? They would resort to Allah. They would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would plead in the court of Allah ta'ala. They would ask Allah ta'ala, and that humility and that humbleness would pay off for them as well. So this links us to that topic in the sense that if we have desires, or if we have certain sins that we cannot get rid of, then we need to ask Allah. We need to pray in the court of Allah. We need to ask Allah Ta'ala to help us. Remember, it is our Lord who changes our heart. It is not in our control to change our heart. Our efforts are limited. We can only try, and it is Allah who gives the results. If we are sincere in our trying, if we are sincere in our practice, if we wholeheartedly try to do something, then that is enough from our side. Then Allah Ta'ala will surely grant you what you are seeking, because this is the promise of Allah Ta'ala. So when we ask Allah Ta'ala for something sincerely, Allah Ta'ala grants us. And there's a story that King Aurangzeb, he visited the shrine of Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz Rahmatullah Alayh, and there was a blind person there, and he was seeking and he was asking for the sake of Khwaja Sahib, that Ya Allah, grant my eyesight back. And King Aurangzeb said to him that, how long have you been asking? And that person replied, I've been asking for many years. And King Aurangzeb said that, I am going to go and convey my salam to visit the shrine of that pious saint Khwaja Gharib Nawaz. And if by the time I return, your eyesight has not returned, then I will execute you. So the king appointed a man upon that person and said, keep an eye on him. If before my return his eyesight has not returned, then you kill him. And this was the order of the king. So now this person, when he fears death over his head, the dua he makes, the sincerity, the crying he does in that dua, the submission he does in that dua, through the blessing of that sincerity, Allah Ta'ala grants him his eyesight back. And when King Aurangzeb returns, and he sees that that person's eyesight has been returned, he says that, you know how you were asking your Lord now, if you asked him in the same manner the first time, Allah would have returned your eyesight the first time. Meaning sometimes we ask in the court of Allah, we ask Allah Ta'ala, but because of the lack of sincerity in our supplications, we are not granted that thing. Another reason why our supplications are not answered, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was walking and he seen a man, and that man was asking Allah Ta'ala in a very humble manner, to the extent that Musa felt sympathy, felt sorry for that individual. And Sayyidina Musa said to Allah, Ya Allah, accept this person's dua. And Allah Ta'ala replied that he is externally asking me, but internally he is occupied and busy with his animals. Meaning his heart is still with his animals who are grazing. His heart is with the animals who are walking around him, but externally he is asking Allah. So where we are asking Allah Ta'ala externally, where we are asking Allah Ta'ala with our body, with our actions, our heart needs to be in prayer, in dua as well. Another reason why a person's du'as are not accepted is because Allah Ta'ala loves that person. Strange, you might ask, but it's true. Allah Ta'ala sometimes does not accept the du'a of an individual because he loves to hear him. There was a Jewish man, and he was fishing, and he raised his hands and he said, "Oh Lord, fill my net up with fish." Allah Ta'ala ordered the angels to quickly go and fulfill his wish, fill his net up with fish. And there was another person, a mu'min, a believer, he was asking Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala ordered the angels to not fulfill his desires. When the angels seen this, they said, "Ya Allah, isn't it strange that when a non-Muslim, when a person who disobeys you asks you for something, you give it to him quickly. But when a mu'min, a believer, a person who has faith, he asks you, you delay it. What is the reason behind this?" And Allah said to the angels that, "I do not like that person who disobeys me asks me. So for the first time when he asks me, I grant him that thing. And I love the call of my favorite people. I love the call of my bondsmen. I love the call of my slaves. And I wish that they keep calling upon me, that they keep asking me, that they don't turn away from me. That's why I do not grant him that thing." Subhanallah. Such a beautiful religion we have, that if we ask something and we are given it, there is goodness in it. If we ask and there is delay, there's delayment in that thing, there is goodness in it for us. And this is the matter of a believer, that Allah Ta'ala loves him. And this is something that we need to realize, that Allah Ta'ala loves us. If he did not love us, then why would he place us in the ummah of his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So for us to be honored, yes, it is an honor for us to be from the nation, from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nation for which the anbiya, the prophets used to pray, that Ya Allah, make us from the nations of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from which Sayyidina Isa's dua is accepted, that when he comes again at the end of times, he will come following the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will not come as a new prophet. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, one other method for a dua to be accepted is to use the means of the pious to ask Allah Ta'ala for dua. So for example, if you are doing dua, you can give the virtue of your parents are pious people, your teachers, your shuyukh, the other religious beings that have lived, the pious predecessor, and through the means of those people, Allah Ta'ala will accept duas. So this was a topic which protects us from sin, and that is, we should ask Allah Ta'ala for dua, and through those duas, Allah Ta'ala will protect us from the major and minor sins. May Allah Ta'ala forgive any mistakes that have been made. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala always keep us coming back to His court and only keeping us submissive to His court. Ameen bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. The all-hearing, all-knowing, from Satan.